Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you as always by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, that is the foursome. And joining us right now is John Feinstein, bestselling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, where they can now custom fit you for the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway today. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there, and this is going to be a different interview here with John, and we don't even really know what to say, John. We got an email yesterday, and maybe I'll just give you the floor, but we learned that this is your final weekly appearance.
Yes, I learned it too yesterday. Got a call from Chris Kinard informing me that the station is changing in many different ways, and I'm one of them. Very disappointed, obviously. You had 12 great years with you guys.
I didn't realize it had been 12 years.
Yeah,
it's 12 crazy. Years. And I want to, before I, you know, get too emotional or anything, I want to, A, thank you guys, because I've enjoyed our segments on Friday mornings. Even when we disagreed, I enjoyed it. And I want to thank Golfdom for being a great sponsor.
That's true. That's
very good.
For the last few years. They've been really great. And it's been a fun ride. I'm sorry that it's over. But things change in life. And I'll move on. You guys will move on. Hopefully we'll stay in touch. And
absolutely.
It's an emotional morning for me, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm guessing, because I don't know, because I've run into John a lot lately in the last few years, but I'm guessing, because you're not around town that often, but I'm guessing when you're around town, people would say, hey, John, I'd love hearing you on the Junks. Like, I'm sure that's happened to you, right?
Always.
Yeah.
Always. I even made that comment to Chris Kiner yesterday that I'm a little surprised because the segments seem to be very popular.
Yeah, for sure.
People enjoy them. I'm different. I'm not like most of the guys that you have on. I hope that there'll be a lot of people who will express their disappointment that I'm not going to be on anymore. But you're right about that, Eric. You're right. I get constant positive feedback around town.
John, I'm curious, and this might be a Junkies inferiority complex, but when we started out, you know, we were kind of outside the mainstream. Now, we've been doing this thing for 28 years.
Are.
We might still be. I'm wondering if your opinion of the Junkies changed over the years.
I don't think it did much. I always liked the show. I mean, you might remember that the first time I was on, I reached out to Morgan Wooten. And I said, you know, I really like their show. And I think Morgan passed that on to you guys, and you guys invited me to come on, and I came on in the old studio. I've always thought that you guys, I don't know how to describe it, but you guys had a way of having fun.
Right.
I always had the sense that you guys were having fun on the show, whether you're talking about winning teams locally or losing teams locally. God knows there have been plenty of losing teams locally. So I think the honest answer is no. It's not something I've given a lot of thought to. I just always thought of you guys as people I worked with and people I liked.
Wow, thank you.
Well, thanks. It's been likewise, and I've always enjoyed having you on. One great thing about John is John's vast experience. And he always has a story to tell you about something, which would always amaze you with all your connections.
I don't know how you remember all those stories, to be honest with you.
You know, both my ex-wives had one thing in common, is that they always said that I had a great memory for things that didn't matter and never remembered things that did matter, like stopping to pick up food. So I just have one of those memories where I can still tell you all 26 guys on the 69 Mets.
Jeez.
But I'm not exactly sure what I'm doing this weekend.
Right.
I got to tell you, my favorite Feinstein story, and he told it a few times is the running into Dan Snyder at the restaurant story, which is fantastic. And just kind of want to transition into what's going on this weekend. They have a playoff game. It's been a few years since they've been in the playoffs. But kind of give us your perspective on where this team is going now, because new owner, new coach, obviously, and star quarterback.
Well, and new general manager. Let's not forget that.
That's an important
piece. I think we saw a good example of Adam Peters last week with Marcus Mariota, because you have all sorts of options on who to sign as a backup quarterback, and they signed a guy who had some experience, had some playoff experience, and who would be able to step in if Jaden Daniels got hurt, I think, and keep the team respectable. Now, that's not the most important thing you do as a general manager, obviously, but to me it was an example of why he has succeeded. And obviously the Jaden Daniels pick was huge. I think they got a little lucky that Jaden fell to them, that the Bears took Caleb Williams. Not that the Bears were wrong to take Caleb Williams, but I think at least for 1 year, Jaden Daniels has been the better player, and we'll see what happens in the future. But as someone who lived in Washington for 35 years, I'm never a fan of the team, covered the team, enjoyed covering the team. I mean, I go back to Jack Pardee, for crying out loud, and enjoyed him, and just hated what Snyder did to the franchise. It was one of the proudest franchises in football, as you guys know, and he totally disgraced it. Yeah. In every way, on and off the field. And I'm kind of proud of the fact that he hated me.
I mean, he's one of the worst five owners in history of sports,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If not the worst.
And, I mean, it's to the point where he now basically lives on a yacht somewhere in Europe, and he's never shows his face in this country anymore.
Good.
Well, and add to that, nobody cares where he is.
Right.
Nope. You're right.
You know, it's like, okay, good riddance, be gone. And, you could, when I'm in town, because I still come to town at least once a week to see my daughters, I can feel the different vibe because the team's winning, obviously. But, you feel good about who is representing your city. And as a Jets fan, I can certainly relate to the idea of being terrible and hoping against hope to get good again, and this team has gotten good again.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the Jaden thing and that he slipped to Washington, and I do agree that I would rather have Jaden than Caleb Williams, but I truly believe that if the roles were reversed and Chicago's coaching staff was so bad this year, we kind of seen that, but
right.
I think if Jaden would have went one to Chicago and Caleb would have slipped to two to Washington with this coaching staff and with Kingsbury, I think Caleb would be a better quarterback. I'm not sure he'd be better than Jaden, but I think Chicago would have screwed Jaden up.
I think Chicago did screw Jaden up. Let's put it in that.
You mean Caleb?
I'm talking about Jaden. Yeah. If Jaden went one.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I'm just not alert yet. But you're right. I agree, Jason. I think that Washington has got the right coaching staff in place. And I was not a big enthusiast of the Dan Quinn hiring. I thought it was too far inside the box. And I sort of thought of him as a Cowboys defensive coordinator, which he was. But I sort of forgot that he was the coach of a team that should have won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And had the Super Bowl won, and then, Kyle Shanahan kind of screwed up at the end, and the Patriots made that amazing comeback. But Dan Quinn, I should have thought of him as the guy who was the coach of the Falcons, not the guy who was the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys. The other thing, I don't know if you guys have noticed this. For some reason, I've been in the car a lot on Tuesday afternoons when he has his weekly press conference. He's a charming guy.
Yeah.
He has the right approach to people. I noticed early on that he always refers to a reporter when answering a question by name. He'll use their name, which is a very smart thing to do. The first guy I remember doing that was Dean Smith. Dean Smith always knew everybody's name, and he used their names in press conferences, and it made them feel like, oh, Coach Smith knows me. And I think Dan Quinn does the same thing, and it's a really charming thing to do, smart thing to do.
So how are you feeling about the game? Are you going to watch the game on Sunday night?
Probably not, because it's a late game.
Yeah.
I'll probably start watching it and see how it's going and then decide whether it's worth staying up. I think it will be a game that's worth staying up for. I think it'll be a close game. I think that playing a team for a second time outside the division is a good thing. I think that's an advantage for the Commanders that they played Tampa Bay once. Granted, it was months ago. But I give them a good chance. So the one X factor for me is that Tampa Bay has so much experience in the playoffs. And they've been there, what, for the last 5 years? And they're playing at home. That clearly makes a difference. But I see it as like a game like last night's college game, 27-24 for somebody.
I've been trying to make the argument. Now listen, on one hand, they won 12 games, and it's unbelievable. But it didn't necessarily feel like a 12-win team because they won so many close ones and the Hail Mary,
right.
You know, that sort of thing. And yet, they've had so many things go their way. I keep trying to make the comparison to 2018. You know, the Caps, they won so many, what is it called? President's Trophy.
Yeah,
whatever. They had so many great
right.
years.
Which
they
are
never
meaningless.
They never capitalized on it. And then the year they won it all, no one kind of expected it. You could kind of say the same thing about the Nats, right? They probably had maybe better chances earlier in 2012
right.
or whatever. And they won. There was like a magic to the team. And I feel like this team kind of has a little of that special sauce. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they kind of have right. the ingredients that maybe they will surprise us.
Well, they could. and again, the Lions and Chiefs have been really good. And I think it's going to be tough to bring either one of them down, although I think the Bills have a real shot against the Chiefs because they've played them so many times now. But I think you're right. And look, championships often come when you're least expecting them, not just here, but everywhere. You know, teams that finish third or fourth or fifth or something in a regular season get their act together at just the right time. And make the big run. Kansas City's first championship was like that. And now they've won three in the last 4 years. And it does happen. It certainly happens. And, you know, you look at the NBA, no matter who finishes with the best record, there are going to be six or seven teams with a chance to win. And Connecticut was, I think, a four or a five seed 2 years ago when they won their first one. You know, nobody expected Duke to beat Vegas in 91, that's for sure. So you're right. That kind of thing can happen. And I don't look at this draw and say, oh, there's nobody they can't beat. So it'll be interesting. The other thing that'll be interesting is next season. Because next season, they're not going to play a last-place schedule. They're not likely to win as many games at the buzzer as they won at the buzzer this year. And there may be some letdown potential there.
Exactly.
It's just something you have to be aware of, I think, going forward.
I've been saying that, and I've been attacked. That's exactly what I've been saying.
They also could still be better.
Agree on something,
we definitely agree.
It took 12 years, but you agree.
It doesn't mean they're going to be worse. It just right. means that it's just going to be tough and you know to duplicate the success. Yeah.
Right. And you know, you look at the Hail Mary game and the overtime game, and they've won them all. The only close game they didn't win was the Dallas game here.
Yeah.
And that was a game they deserved to lose. They played poorly throughout. But again, the schedule will be tougher. They'll be more of a target depending on what they do here in the postseason. And it'll be interesting to see if they can make the moves to maintain what they've accomplished this season.
So, John, we're in the midst of the college football playoffs. You had one semifinal last night, got another one tonight. Have you enjoyed the format here where it's lasted really a month of college football building up to the national championship game?
Well, as you guys may remember, I have always been a proponent of a 12-team playoff. I'm now a proponent of a 16-team playoff because I think that's more fair. I have no problem with, you know, let's face it, especially in this era of NIL and the transfer portal, we're not talking about student athletes anymore. Not that we were years ago, but now we're really not talking about it. So to ask them to play extra games is to me, no big deal. Notre Dame's going to be playing, what, its 17th game or 16th game in the championship game. Penn State, 16, Ohio yeah. State, or Texas will be playing their 17th game. Yeah, I like the format. Last night was the second truly exciting game we've had. We've had a lot of duds along the way, but last night was certainly not a dud, and the Arizona State Texas game was certainly not a dud. So yeah, I like the format. I would like to see in the future two group of five teams get in, because I think just one spot among 12 or one spot among 16 isn't right. There should be two group of five teams in the playoff every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what Marcus Freeman's done at Notre Dame the last 3 years. It's been incredible, because you don't think of Notre Dame as one of those big spending teams of NIL and portal, and he's been able to get guys in there like Riley Leonard, who transferred in from Duke. But you know, a lot of those guys are guys that they recruit and they kind of build up, and he's done an incredible job at Notre Dame to get to where they are. Especially
a better coach than Brian Kelly.
Yeah, especially since they lost to Northern Illinois as a 30-point favorite earlier in the year.
Right. Yeah. And the team held together, and I thought their talent was great all season long. Even I couldn't figure out how they lost to Northern Illinois. That was a really bad loss, but they completely recovered from it. They didn't just turn around and win. They dominated teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought going into the playoff, they had as good a chance as anybody to win because of the way they dominated teams during the season. Of course, they play that powder puff schedule. They only played three real road games. And, you know, Florida State was terrible this year. That's usually a good game. And USC wasn't very good either. So, but you could tell that they had the talent, and they go out and rent a quarterback every year. And Riley Leonard was this year's rent a quarterback, and he's good.
Yeah.
So, John, we only have a minute here. I feel I should read a couple of these tweets that have come in the last couple of minutes. This one from Walt: losing John Feinstein is huge. My favorite segment of the week. I'm pissed that they're not keeping Feinstein's weekly segment. So a lot of support, and what I wanted to say on behalf of all of us, we do owe you a lot. Your contributions, your insight, your stories, your perspective have added a lot to our show over the years.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate the tweets. And that's, you asked me earlier, the response I get going around town. I get a lot of, you're my favorite segment on the Junkies.
Yes.
And that obviously makes me feel very good. I think my segment's certainly different than others, and I'm sorry that it's ending. And who knows? Maybe a year from now, Chris Conard will call me back and say, "We miss you. Come back."
You never know.
Never know what the future holds.
That's definitely possible.
That's exactly right.
That's definitely possible. Exactly, well, I'm glad you're open to it, especially if something big's coming on and we call you. You might answer our call.
I will always answer your call. Of course, there'll be a charge.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Sure. You got a charge for services, John.
There should be. I get it.
All right. Thank you, John. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I've enjoyed it, and I wish you all the best.
Yep, wish you the best as well. We'll see you around for sure. All right. Thank you,
okay,
John. Thank you, buddy.
It's John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom, where, of course, you can get new clubs. They can custom fit you. They got the new GT Metals from Titleist, the new Apex Irons from Callaway. You can visit them in Tyson's, Rockville, or Annapolis to game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Hey, reminder, you can join me and the great Santana Moss at the Verizon store in Waldorf, located on Crane Highway, 2915 Crane Highway. I believe that's also known as 301.
It's such a busy, congested road.
Yeah. So it's right off of 301 in Waldorf, Verizon store.
You think they call it 301 in Waldorf? Like, we call it 301. What do you think they call it? Crane Highway. Because in Bowie, we don't call it Crane Highway.
Call it 301.
We call it 301.
Yeah.
Good question. I'd say 50-50.
And I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know Waldorf.
Probably wrong, but I think I'm correct. I think you can take 301, like, all the way down to Florida.
Oh, you definitely can. I was right near 301 when I was in Tampa.
It's One of the longest roads in the country.
Is it really?
I think so.
It's an alternate. Sometimes, like when you're stuck on 95, you can try to get on 301.
Does it go over that Nubs Bridge?
You're going to pass a billion traffic lights.
Oh, yeah. The one that real high.
It'll take you a while.
And you'll pass something like that?
The Harry Nice.
The Nice Middleton Bridge. It's one of the most terrifying bridges.
That's the one that goes like this.
Isn't that what it was called?
I called it the Harry Nice.
There's nothing nice in the name. There's nothing nice about it. It's a terrifying structure.
I thought it was a Harry Nice Bridge.
There is a Harry Nice Bridge. I think there's also a Tidings Bridge, too.
The Millard Tidings Bridge is up in northern Maryland near Delaware.
Yeah, that's a nothing bird.
Okay.
That one's easy.
Harry Nice is the one that goes like
the
this.
The Tidings Bridge is pretty flat. It's on the way to the Borgata.
Yeah.
that's a weird marker, but it's a straight shot.
Yeah.
The Nice Bridge goes straight up
in the air, but straight
and it's terrifying. Yeah. And I'm not afraid of bridges. I can drive on basically any bridge. That one scares me.
Dude, you ever scurry again?
It's 1.7 miles.
I don't want to veer off too much, but
I think I've been on it, but it's been
a long time ago. Do you get those reels where my life is dominated with reels?
I don't get
the answer is no.
Where people jump off the bridge. And, you know, they're always doing, like, daredevil stuff.
Okay.
And, like, I saw a guy, literally, he must have been 200 feet in the air. And he kind of, like, landed on his chest. And I'm thinking, and obviously people were jumping off this bridge as, like, a fun activity.
Okay.
How's he not dead?
I don't understand it.
How's he not dead?
Because
that bridge was so high.
I've been to the O-Town Indoor Swim Center. And I've been on the highest dive there, which isn't even very high.
Oh, that's high.
I mean, No, the one near where I live.
Oh, it's a 3 meter?
I don't know how many meters it is. I live in America. I don't use meters. Hello, I use feet.
Is it roughly 10, 11, 12
feet? It's probably 12 to 15 feet high, I would guess. And you stand up there, and this is 15 feet, and you look down at the water, and you feel
your knees are knocking. You feel like you're
100 feet up.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine standing so like on a cliff where it's actually 100, 150, 200 feet, like, and then
These
jumping.
These people are crazy. Crazy peeps.
I don't know if you've seen these people. Well, they'll go to the edge of a waterfall and they're like crawling on the rocks.
I've seen that before on my Twitter.
And they're like, they're looking over and they're doing it for the pic.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane. They're doing it for clout.
Well, how about those divers, those competitions?
Like the Red Bull divers.
Yeah, they're jumping off of cliffs in Hawaii.
But at least they're professional divers.
The only scenario where I jump off a cliff is if I'm getting chased by a T-Rex, like in the reboot of, I think it was Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Where the brother and his little brother, they're right on the edge, and they're like, okay, we either get eaten by a T-Rex or we jump off this 250-foot cliff. Then I would do it.
I'm guessing that's not going to happen, though.
I'm guessing I'm not going to go to an island where there are mutated dinosaurs roaming around. I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen.
I'm getting sweaty. I'm okay. getting sweaty hands.
You're just getting the fight or flight response?
Yeah, just thinking about that.
So you guys know who's calling the Super Bowl, right?
I haven't paid attention.
It's Tom Brady.
Is it Tom Brady?
Tom Brady.
Okay.
There's some discussion now whether that could be his last game. Of course, Tom Brady's name has been brought up as much, if not more recently, in terms of the firing of Antonio Pierce with the Vegas Raiders and what they're going to do moving forward. A semi-frequent guest on the show is David Sampson. Used to run the Marlins. Mm-hmm. I think he was the team president.
He's a wild dude. He has very, very.
I think he's also the son-in-law of the owner. If my memory serves,
I think
correct.
That's right.
Which that helps.
Yeah,
that certainly
he
helps.
He has very strong opinions. Yes. So he's a fun guest.
But
to
he
have.
Ran a baseball
he
team.
Did, yes,
and he does a lot of media. Here's what David Sampson says about the future of Tom Brady broadcasting.
Guess what? Tom Brady's running that team right now, and the NFL knows it, and Fox knows it, and something's got to give. So enjoy Tom in the booth, because you're not going to see him there next year.
Whoa, what? Whoa, what? Where is he going to be? What?
He will be in the Raiders front office. He will not return as an analyst for Fox. You cannot be this involved in the operation of a team and be the number one analyst. It is an absolute insult to analysts what he's doing, and it's an insult to team presidents what he's doing. You end up doing both of them in a mediocre way, and I assume and I know that he'll I promise you.
Wait a minute, which is it? Wait, get it right.
Do you promise or do you know?
Come on, David. David, get the dismount right, please. Do you know it? Do you assume it? Do you promise it? If you're going to give us the soundbite of saying something no one else is saying, can you do it correctly, please?
What does he say there?
8, 6, 9.
Sorry, the
like, why are we getting a no doubt?
No, it's the stack that you guys came back to break bled over into the clip. But but he's just saying he's promising that Tom Brady will not be back.
I actually think he's right, and I think somebody probably told him that, like an agent or somebody, a network exec, somebody he knows that's their best guess too. It's a great parachute because he sucks on TV. He's clearly uncomfortable with it. The reviews of his performance have been eh.
Yeah.
It's very reminiscent. He's better than when Montana tried to do it.
Montana was terrible.
But he not that much better. He's not a natural at it. And this is a great parachute.
Does he get the rest of his money bag? Probably not. It's like conflict of interest where.
Yeah, he's just, dude, his money like, bag
the,
is going to come from.
Would the league make him step down, though? Would it be like Roger Goodell steps in and says you can't do
you could
both?
Use that. Yeah, you could use that as an excuse.
Remember,
yeah.
He already wasn't allowed to like go to the other team's facilities and interview players and be in like certain meetings.
Like if the Raiders were involved.
I think
is everyone
David
okay
is
with
right.
that? I mean, it doesn't hurt me.
I think he's boring.
I've said a million times. You could have a chip.
I don't care who's calling the game.
An orangutan calling a game, and I'm going to watch the game. Like to me, it doesn't really matter. I understand. There's some gravitas about having like Buck and Aikman call the game because they've been doing it forever. But
some guys indicate a big game.
The announcer.
Yeah. Sometimes when you're watching, you go, "Yeah, this is a big game."
And some guys like indicate JV.
I get some of these JV guys. Like we've had a lot of JV guys calling our games.
I thought they had JV last week with Mark Sanchez, and I think Mark Sanchez is good.
He's fine.
I've seen him as a guest on like the Colin Cowherd show. He's excellent at that when he sits down and breaks down stuff. As a color commentator,
he doesn't have the gravitas. He doesn't have the even.
Just
Orlovsky,
give me the game.
When I hear Orlovsky,
give me the game. Let me sit down as soon as the game kicks off. I don't need to watch an hour of the pregame talking heads.
It's annoying when there's three guys in the booth.
What about when there are four guys in the booth?
we ain't never doing that. No booths for me.
He being cakes to the hockey booth.
And we've stated we'll never do it again.
I almost want another crack at it.
Our new comfort zone is the
alt. Go tell Joe B.
Is the alt cast.
I almost want another crack at
it. The alt cast is our comfort zone.
We
don't need to be in there disturbing locker.
We were overserved.
We'd call it a comfort zone.
Overserved, and we were trying to do shtick.
These are all good points.
It was stupid.
This is all true.
I botched it.
I've never seen a louder cheer in person than when the Caps went up 2.
Oh, yeah. That was huge.
I'm just glad that Jason...
When they went up 2, yeah, that's right, because they avoided overtime.
They got the empty netter.
I'm just glad that Jason is now...
started packing up.
Jason finally took the baton from me that I held for so many years for picking the Flyers over the Caps at Capital One Arena. Jason today picked the Buccaneers on the WSA 9 broadcast that would happen earlier in the show. So I applaud you for that.
Correct.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the spotlight off of me.
So look, I don't think any of us will be stunned if it's one and done for Tom Brady in the booth. But maybe he doesn't want to be the team president. I know he bought into the Raiders and he's a part owner. I don't know how much he owns.
Well, I could tell you this.
Probably 1% of the team.
It's like a 5% or less.
5%?
I bet he wants to be a president more than he wants to be on TV. Because that job looks like he just didn't look super comfortable at it. He just didn't look great.
Do you ever see, so you're always talking about everything that you see viral. I've seen it in the last couple of weeks. He does like a top 5 teams or Brady's power players or something like that. Do you see that stuff?
No.
Do you believe he looks awkward doing that?
Where would I see that? Where
I see that on Instagram.
What does he do?
He does like his top 5 teams of the week.
No, I've never seen
that. I've never seen that and will
never
see it.
I'm sure Fox has built in certain things besides him doing...
I see him
color
do an awkward hit with the guys at later.
He's got to do his hit with the guys on Fox.
Yeah.
And I think he's got to do some online content.
I haven't seen any of his online content. It hasn't come up on my reel.
I need to stop watching those old codgers on TV. Drab, did it blow your mind? I think this is like 2 or 3 weeks ago when Terry Bradshaw called Zach Charbonnet. He called him Zach Cabernet during a highlight. And he thought that was his name. And I said, well, again, why am I watching this senile old
man? And he wasn't
joking
and just joking with the
name. Oh, he wasn't joking. He wasn't doing like a Chris Berman bit.
Yeah.
He called him Zach Cabernet.
Howie and Strahan grilled him for it.
No, because as soon as I heard him say that, I flipped the channel.
You sure it wasn't a bit?
I don't think it was a bit.
Sounds like it's a bit.
I think he just looked at his name, said, it looks like Cabernet. It's Charbonnet. And he just rolled with
every
it.
Time he gets a carry, every one of those analysts say, there's two glasses of Charbonnet.
Oh.
Every single time he rushes the ball.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. Bad. I'm not sure. He might have been just joking with the name.
I don't know.
I saw they celebrated an anniversary. Have they been doing it for like 40 years?
Who?
Terry Bradshaw and those guys. Or maybe it was 31 years.
They got to put those guys out.
That's a ridiculous
pasture.
Run.
That sounds right. That is an old crew right there.
I cannot stand that crew. I mean, Howie is... I can tolerate Howie.
Yeah.
I cannot stand Terry at this point.
I mean, he's doing Terry highlights and it's freaking painful.
And the fake laughter and, you know, with Jimmy Johnson... Oh, you know, oh my God.
Hey, not
they just Joan. I know they do a lot of Joan.
I know it's not younger, even funny.
I know a younger
fake...
group that would take over that gig for not quite as high a price.
That's true. I would do it, but man, I'd be complaining about it. But I would do it.
Oh,
Cakes.
You wouldn't complain when you saw that paycheck.
I know.
You'd be like, oh my God. I can't believe what
Cakes,
we're getting
that trajectory of our career is shot.
I wonder what
they've been going at it since 94.
94?
Yeah. That's just a couple years longer than us.
That's quite a run by them.
No, but for TV, that's pretty incredible.
It's a great run, but they got to take like Kevin O'Leary would say, kick Bradshaw behind the barn, shoot him.
Hey, all I know is we're going to be doing monumental altcast in the year 2045.
All right, it's the Fox pregame show. EB, who do you like in the Panthers 49ers game?
I don't know.
I only care about my locals.
Yeah. They're the Panthers.
They're the Panthers.
Yeah. He would be the one doing the highlights. Yeah.
They're the Panthers.
How old is Terry Bradshaw?
I'm going to say Terry Bradshaw is
73.
I'm going to guess 75. I don't know. I have no idea.
I would say 75.
76.
Yeah.
I'm pretty silly with people's ages.
Yeah.
Pretty good at it.
Again, I saw him last year in Columbus, Ohio. He walked into the hotel I was at. I was at the bar. And he sat behind me, and he ordered a beer, and then he pulled out some NyQuil, and he was doing both.
How old is Howie Long, Cakes?
Howie Long is...
65.
I told you I'm pretty good at people's ages.
He looks damn good for 65.
Except when a radio executive walks in and I overestimated his age by about a dozen years.
Who was that?
Michael Hughes.
You thought he was really old.
He was offended. I think I called him like in his mid 50s, and he was probably like in his mid to
was he early is Michael
to
Hughes actually younger than us?
No chance.
I don't think so.
But
I definitely thought he was older than he was, and he was none too happy.
Right.
Remember, we've got Scott Abraham from ABC7, and later we're going to give you our official picks on the Commanders playoff game and take your calls at 800-636-1067. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Scott Abraham, ABC7, is going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock as we get deeper into the Commanders-Buccaneers game. Jason said this during the break, though. Taking many calls all week. Now, you've only been here since yesterday.
That's true. That's been my week. Yesterday and today.
But we had
7 hours.
Channel 9 in here in studio earlier. The show's been different. John Feinstein came on. So let's open up the phone lines, 800-636-1067, and touch the people. What are your vibes going in? I know I put up a poll right now. I did it earlier in the week. I think our listeners, Commanders fans, were like 70-30 thinking that the Commanders win this game.
I was going to guess 77%.
But we can put up a new poll. Who do you think wins? And fill us in on what you think happens. I think all of us believe it's going to be a high-scoring game, right? Does anybody believe it's going to be? I know you're throwing at the possibility. Well, when everybody says this, it's going to be that.
I just think that
you're doing your EB covers all bases.
I'm not covering all bases. It's just I've done that many times where I expect. Yes, on paper, I agree. It looks like a high scoring game. I agree.
Yes.
I don't see a 21-14 game
where
neither team is good at taking the ball away. Both teams are kind of bad at that, actually. So I think both offenses. We're going to have plenty of room for success.
Both offenses are good and both defenses are average.
The weather should be fine. I think there's a little bit of rain in the forecast, but it's going to be like 50 degrees. It's not
be fine.
You know, snow or ice are going to impact this game.
I believe that it'll get into the mid-40s at minimum. Total points, mid-40s at minimum.
I want to hold on to the idea. I almost want to go hard on Skins blowout.
31, like a 31-13 game?
31, yeah.
31-20?
I can't see that. Like, of the possibilities, I could see Tampa winning via blowout.
No, just
blowout.
Like a good fortune game. Just like we got the it's a magic carpet ride. Yeah, it's just a good fortune game.
Why wouldn't they score points?
Well, we
create a turnover. So you need like a Baker,
too.
Like four interception game?
No, this is what.
No, fumble
a punt. If they play a first half like they did against the Saints.
Yeah, if it's
it
a
could
dud,
happen.
Dud on offense.
I mean, they came out last week and looked like butt in the first half. Yeah. Now they turned it around the second
what
half.
What if Lattimore is like, you know, he's found the fountain of youth and he's balling up on Evans and it's a duel? What if he gets a pick?
Hey, yeah. You could be right. I don't see it.
Baker throws picks.
I don't
got
see
16 of them.
I don't see Washington being able to shut down the running game and the passing game. Like if they load the box and say, all right, we have to stop Bucky Irving. Like, that's the first thing that Joe Witt tries to take away from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then I think they're going to have some success in the passing game. I just think they have too much. And I think Washington has a lot, too. I think if Washington wins the game, it's going to be a Jaden Daniels runs for 80 yards type of game with a couple of touchdown passes.
I also think that it's almost kind of good that Jaden wasn't sharp in that last game. By all accounts, he wasn't sharp. I expect to see better. I expect to tighten it up a little bit, assuming he's healthy. And I do assume he's healthy.
Oh, yep. I think his leg soreness is just a blip.
I think that leg soreness stuff was a blip, and Dan just wanted to get him out of there because our offensive line was getting overwhelmed.
If they needed the game, he was playing the second half.
Yeah, and Micah was, you know, just a game wrecker in that first half. So let's get him out of there, put in Mariota.
I love the player prop of over 48.5 rushing yards.
Yeah, I put that in.
For
how do you see Tampa's offense doing against Washington's defense, Jason?
I think I've said it 500 times this week. I think Bucky Irving's going to be a major factor. I just think that Washington's going to give up a lot of yards to him. If Rashad White's playing too, which I assume he is, he didn't play in the Saint game, I don't believe. But I think he's going to play in this game. He's going to be big in the passing game because they like to throw
they
to Rashad
White.
They
do like to run screens in that offense.
No.
But Washington's going to move the ball. They got to keep the ball out of Tampa's hands.
I think we need a little good fortune. I think we need to force a turnover. A
couple breaks. Yeah.
I think we need a couple breaks. But if we do, I think we'll be okay. I can't listen. This will be my famous last words that you guys can play on Monday and embarrass me. I can't get too worked up about Bucky Irvine or whatever.
Irving.
I can't.
I don't know who this Bucky Irvine guy is, but Bucky Irving's
Bucky
actually
Irving.
Pretty
I'm having
good.
A hard time shaking in my boots. I'll be honest.
Look, I'm not saying he's Marshall Faulk, but he's had a good second half of the season.
Okay. I just can't do it. Now, maybe he'll have 250 and four touchdowns against us and humiliate me, but I just can't do it.
Well, that's fine.
I refuse to go into this game scared of Bucky Irving.
There you got it.
Yeah. I refuse to do
it. He's not Saquon.
Yeah.
But he's their version of Saquon.
All right. Well, we can get coached up too, and we should be able to take any one thing away, take that away, and then play Baker straight up.
Here's what they can allow to happen. Baker had 9 carries for 68 yards in the win over the Saints. Can't let that happen.
That's rare.
If Bucky Irving is going to get his, that's okay. You can live with that. You can't live with Baker getting nearly 70 yards rushing.
So
that's not usually his MO.
So I just looked up PFF's grade of the offensive lines.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I think Washington's just going to have a tough time stifling. I get what you're saying, this crazy scenario with balls break, you know, bouncing their way and fumbles.
What do you mean crazy scenario? It happens every week to some teams to get turnovers.
But Washington ranked 10th, actually, for offensive lines by PFF. Tampa was ranked 3rd. I think they're just going to bring it right to the defensive line, which has struggled. We've seen this week in and week out.
Yeah, so we're
now they've gotten better in second halves for some reason. I don't know, they make adjustments, whatever they do. I think that you may not be scared of Bucky. I don't think it's a Bucky Irving thing. Like, Bucky Irving may be talented, but I think it's their line got really good.
All right. Well, they're not stupid. They're watching a film. They know they're going to have to bring extra guys. Like, straight up, they win. Yeah. But we bring extra guys.
And they're really good pass blockers, too. So, According to PFF, the Buccaneers offensive line earned a 90.3 PFF pass blocking efficiency rating this season, as they are one of just two teams to earn a score over 90. So it's going to be tough to pressure him. I know that you thought in the first game that they pressured him and that Baker wiggled his way
you
out.
Didn't I just think remember. That?
I remember having an argument.
Pushback from you.
I did give you pushback then because he wasn't hit that often.
He did a remarkable job weaving out of where most people would have been sacked, in my opinion. I thought most people that watched that saw the same thing, but except for you, you didn't see that. Right? Correct. I don't know, do you remember that? Do you remember that game?
They need Fowler and Armstrong to get home. To actually tackle Baker Mayfield if they get into the backfield. They can't let him just scoot out and gain 5 or 7 or 10 yards. Like, that can't happen.
There should be the veteran leadership here. Bobby Wagner, get the boys fired up.
I mean, isn't Joe Witt and Dan Quinn's thing like, arrive violently, be violent? Yeah. Okay, we need to see some of that this weekend.
Right. I think this is good. I like that we kind of had a dud and we got something to prove. I mean, they won, so they feel good, but, won great.
Just hope that the Bucs come out flat like they did against the Saints.
That's the way you can possibly get your blowout. Now, when I say blowout, I don't mean 4 touchdowns, but I would say 10 or more. If they beat Tampa in their house by 10, that's kind of a blowout.
So Baker dropped back 30 times in that game, and this is, I did give you pushback. He was sacked one time, and he was touched 4 times. Like, to me, that's not a lot of pressure.
Yeah, well, but pressure is different than sacks and quarterback hits. Like, you can get pressure and still not actually touch the quarterback.
Yeah, I thought he was pressured.
Usually, when you have a lot of pressure, what you guys are trying to argue.
How many runs did he have against us? And they weren't designed runs.
How many scrambles did he have?
Yeah, how many times did he have the ball?
Like 3 times. 21
yards. Then he went past the line of scrimmage?
3 runs for 21 yards. But he had 4 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Just
they scored 37 points.
Just watch it. Watch every pass
from
that game.
Need to cut his touchdown numbers in half in this game. Like, you can win with him throwing 2 touchdowns. If he throws another 4 touchdowns, I don't like the Commander's chances.
Right. And these are two hot teams, too.
Right.
Washington's, what, they won 5 straight?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Bucky Irving
ran. Tampa Bay has won 6 of 7, I think.
Yeah. So Bucky Irving ran for 7 yards a carry against them.
Yeah,
now, he didn't touch the ball that much early in the season.
Right.
He only had 9 carries. Mm-hmm. So I know you're not a big fan of Bucky Irvine, but he had some success.
I just can't sit here and be scared of Bucky Irvin.
Irving, oh, man. That's,
whatever his name.
Now you're putting that out in the universe. Now he's going to have like 90 yards in the first half.
That's fine. Maybe he's great.
Anybody named Bucky.
It's just Bucky. I'm not taking a shot at my buddy Buck.
You can't get excited
about it. Can't get excited and be super scared of Bucky Irving.
All right, we'll talk more about it. Scott Abraham from ABC7 joins us next here on The Junkies.